Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
What is up, everybody? Welcome back to Grizzly Bear Blues Live. I'm your host, Parker Fleming, recording live on Monday, August 22nd. In light of some pretty big news that obviously we are going to get into, a big reason why we are recording an impromptu podcast in the August month of the NBA offseason. But before I introduce my guest, let me tell you how you can get in touch with the blog and with the podcast. So Grizzly Bear Blues is the official blog for the Memphis Grizzlies on SB Nation. You can find it on the web at grizzlybearblues.com or on Twitter at SB and Grizzlies. And the Grizzly Bear Blues podcast network is the podcast network for SB Nation's Grizzly Bear Blues. You can find any episode of GBB Live, the Starting Five, Core Four podcast, the Next Gen podcast, and soon Grizzly Bear Bets, wherever you get your podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Megaphone, or iHeartRadio. Once again, I'm your host, Parker Fleming, and today on this show, I'll be having on the Grizzlies beat writer for the Daily Memphian, Drew Hill. Drew, how are you doing this afternoon, man?
I'm good. It's been a few weeks of not much going on, so it's good to have some Grizzlies chatter back out there in the Hoops universe.
Absolutely. You know, I've seen where Grizzly reporters like you and DeMichael Cole were covering the golf tournament a couple weeks ago here in Memphis for the FedEx St. Jude Classic, as well as Chris Harrington, Martin Giannato. So it's nice to kind of get back into hoops as we're about 5 weeks away from media day and training camp. But let's just get right into it. You get the notification that Shams Charania reported that a Western Conference team is in the mix for Kevin Durant, and that team is the Memphis Grizzlies. So just what are your initial thoughts out of seeing that notification, aside from, oh, I need to go cover on this? What were your initial thoughts?
I guess unsurprising, because that was something we all kind of expected, right? I remember when the news first broke that he would maybe request a trade, there was talk about, all right, well, who are the teams that could potentially pull it off? And the Grizzlies were actually one of them. They fit sort of the mold of, okay, they're a team that could potentially trade for Kevin Durant. They have draft assets. They have young talent. They have salary that can match. Combine all those things together, and you can convince yourself that Memphis had a chance, and then that sort of fizzled out, and then here you are again. With Memphis at least inquiring about Kevin Durant, and they're not the only one. I think there was about a third of the league's teams that were that Shams mentioned alone in that one little newsletter that he put out this morning. But it's somewhat unsurprising, but it's also exciting because Kevin Durant is an awesome basketball player, and everybody, I would assume, or at least most people, know just how big of a superstar he is and how much he moves the needle. And so to potentially have that in Memphis is obviously very exciting. Or just to be able to talk about it and think about it is exciting. I don't even know if we should go that far yet. It's very early in the talks here.
No, absolutely, man. And I mean, let me tell you, it's exciting. I know, especially for me, I've been, you know, following the team since I was a kid, since they were playing in the Bass Pro Shop Pyramid. And I've never, ever heard of anything about them inquiring about a disgruntled star or even acquiring a star in a trade. I think the closest thing we got to was the Grizzlies possibly trading for Ray Allen or Paul Pierce in the latter days of that Boston three party kind of deal. But I mean, nothing to this magnitude of Kevin Durant. And, you know, it's exciting and it should have been expected because, for one, it's Kevin Durant. As an NBA organization, I feel like you have to do your due diligence to go ask about Kevin Durant and see what it would take, because he is one of the few players in the league that actually moves the needle towards title contention, almost regardless of how the team's currently constructed at the moment. But also, too, like you said, we should have seen this coming, because when the news and the rumors are kind of building up for the Kevin Durant trade demand, the Grizzlies were always near the top of the betting favorites. And it's for the reasons you outlined. They have the flexibility kind of throw out whatever kind of package they want. And I think the key thing too is the Grizzlies also have a superstar that Kevin Durant would want to play with, and John Morant. And those two would arguably be a top three duo in the league. Hell, I'm not trying to go like hyperbolic or anything and say they would be the absolute best, but it's hard to say they wouldn't be the best. So, I mean, the Grizzlies have kind of, and Zach Klein have kind of built to this moment of, hey, there's this disgruntled star out in the market. Let's go see what we can get to bolster the chances to bring a title to Memphis.
And it's interesting to me, because we've always talked about like this fork in the road that Memphis will eventually reach, like this opportunity to go for it, right? You get close enough. When you're a team in a small market like Memphis, the way that you win a championship is the blueprint for that. I think to some degree, somewhat looks like what the Raptors did when they traded for Kawhi Leonard at the perfect time. Now, Kawhi ended up not staying, but I think that they would do the same thing all over again if they were presented that option, where you win a championship, you make a big, it ends up working out for you. And this is an opportunity where Kevin Durant for 4 years, like, he's not only would you be getting Kevin Durant, you'd be getting the future too. And opportunities like this, they just don't present themselves very often. And you talked about, you know, what we all did. We talked about the fork in the road that eventually they're going to reach, where you have to, and then make the moves that can put you over the top, a chance to win the championship. Well, you had the second best record in the league last year. You were played probably the most competitive series. I mean, it's between us and Boston against Golden State. And you did so without Ja several of those games. I just think that, you know, a fork in the road that we talked about a long time ago, they've hit that moment now. And this would be an opportunity to go for it, to press eject on the slow build through the draft, over the home runs. I see some Grizzlies fans like very against it, but you know, that's Zach Kleiman's job to figure out. Eventually he needs to know when he needs to go for the home run swing. And this is a chance right here. If he really wants to do it, I think based on the report that we've gotten so far about not wanting to include Jackson or Bane, that is to keep Jackson and Bane from being in the middle of trade rumors. You don't want a situation where those guys are mad at you the way Jaylen Brown seemed to be mad at Boston. Like, you want to avoid. So that is right. They have not closed the door on that potentially changing. And so this gets fascinating. I don't think that the Grizzlies, you would peg them as the favorite to get Kevin Durant right now. But they've got the assets to do it. And if they're the first team to offer him up, they might have a real chance at getting him.
I definitely agree. I'll get to the Jaren Bain dynamic in a minute, but you talk about this fork in the road, and the Grizzlies are there both at a competitive standpoint, but also for an asset standpoint. Dylan Brooks is going to make more than $11 million in his next contract. He's a big wing that can defend, all NBA talent, and he can create his own shot, shoot threes. He's going to get more than $11 million in the open market and unrestricted free agency next season. You have almost $30 million in expiring contracts between Steven Adams and Danny Green. Also, too, Brandon Clark, restricted free agent next summer. He's a guy that teams, I guess Brooklyn, could be like, well, we could extend Brandon Clark, or we can get him into restricted free agency and match any offer. You also have Zaire Williams. And Zaire Williams also represents probably the last time you're going to pick that high, probably for the rest of the 2020s. So that's kind of the fork in the road from an asset accumulation standpoint, where you may not be at this spot from an asset standpoint again. And that I could be wrong, because, you know, they could, I mean, nobody expected Desmond Bane to build himself up to the point where he's being kept out of trade talks for Kevin Durant. That they could do that down the road. Who knows? But I just feel like they're just, you know, like you said, they're at a fork in the road, and it's also going to be just a huge test to not only their culture, but their commitment to the long-term plan that Zach Kleiman has talked about since he's gotten to Memphis.
I agree. And I don't know if I'm moving ahead too far here, but you also have to think about who you're sending back in a trade like this and how it relates to your future. Everyone's very excited about Zaire Williams. I think for a pretty good reason. I mean, you've got guys like Dylan Brooks, who's going into the last year of a deal. Steven Adams, who's going into the last year of a deal. You and I both did the math on this. You can make this trade work without including Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson, but it has to include Danny Green, who makes $10 million, Steven Adams, as well as Dylan Brooks. It has to include those three if you're not going to include Desmond Bane or Jaren Jackson Jr. In this sort of deal. And so those guys are significant too. They're not nothing. You are giving away some pieces, but you're not giving away your future pieces. Those three guys are very clearly not going to be enough to get some sort of trade deal done. I think you could offer all the picks and all the pick swaps, and that's still probably not going to be enough to get it done. You know, maybe it is the best offer. That's why you make this call, because you need to know what other people are offering and like where what you would do at the maximum stands versus other people. But I think that, you know, you would have to include a Zaire Williams in that deal, or one of your rookie draft picks from, you know, this summer would have to be included in that deal. So I just think that there's a lot of things still up in the air. And when you talk about mortgaging the future, when you talk about trying not to give up your future, and you talk about being untouchable when it comes to Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson being untouchable, you also have to understand that the dynamic of the team is severely going to change by giving up all the role players around them, which you would end up having to give up a whole lot. So this is really complex. It's really hard to figure out. And if it makes sense, but man, you put Kevin Durant and Ja Morant on the same basketball team, and that's just appointment television every single night.
It's appointment television, and it's probably the clearest path for the Grizzlies to ultimately win a championship. And I feel like anybody could say this too. Like, you know, if they kept one of Jackson or Bane with Durant and Ja, again, that's a championship team. And also, too, think about this. If you keep this quartet in line, Ja Morant, Desmond Bane, Kevin Durant, Jaren Jackson Jr. for 4 years, that it gets interesting, because I think when it comes to the teams that Kevin Durant's been on, I think that Warriors team would be the only team that could stack up against it. Maybe that like 2016 Thunder team as well. But I mean, it kind of has a similar ingredients to the Warriors. And since, well, I know Ja's not like this shooting supernova, but you had that transcendent point guard. You have the guy that's the three-point shooter who can just be a threat without really needing a whole lot of dribble time, like with Bane and Thompson. And then you have your all-defensive guy in Jaren. It's possible. My thing is, are we absolutely sure that the Grizzlies don't have to include one of Jackson or Bane, or if not both, because it is Kevin Durant. The Nets have maintained a high asking price because they do have him. He's under contract for 4 years. They're not afraid to kind of test and see Durant's commitment to this trade demand. But also, too, at the same time, the Nets willing to do a deal that's picks-based without Jackson or Bane opens up the door for other teams. I mean, I point out in a feature I'm dropping on Kevin Durant trade possibilities. Opens up the door for New Orleans, who has all those picks from the Jrue Holiday and Anthony Davis trade. You have Toronto, who could offer better players as well as about four first-round picks. Atlanta, maybe they might have the picks, but they have players. So it opens up an avenue for more teams to offer. And from that standpoint, that's where I'm also unsure that a picks-based package could trump anything for Kevin Durant.
But I don't think that you know that. Right. You know, like that's why else is Zach Kleiman calling if truly Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson are untouchable? Why would Zach Kleiman waste his time in calling and saying, I have these, you know, either he needs to know what the other offers are on the table or there's interest in it happening, you know, like Zach is a smart guy.
Yeah.
He's not going to call and waste his time and say, hey, I've got four first-round draft picks when he knows the Raptors might have four first-round draft or whatever. The Grizzlies have to have something that other teams don't, and the Grizzlies certainly have a package that's good enough to get the deal done. But that's why you call – like, I don't know what the other trade offers for Kevin Durant are that are out there. I don't know. So I don't know if Zach knew exactly what they were either, which is probably why he calls with interest and says, hey, well, we got a whole bunch of draft picks. If nobody else is willing to throw that amount of draft picks out there, just letting you know, we got them. And maybe the Nets just scoff at that and say, all right, buddy. Yeah, for sure. We're interested in your first round draft picks when Scotty Barnes might be available, you know,
exactly. You know,
but there's a reason why he's calling. Because you wouldn't make that call unless you thought that there was a chance somewhere, or if you had the edge up on someone, or if you just wanted to know if you had a chance. I think that Zach, you know, it was almost like great news for the Grizzlies because it gets everybody talking about the Grizzlies again and everyone's all excited. The Grizzlies are also not the type of team that's going to leak this kind of stuff.
Exactly. So
it's clearly not coming from the Memphis Grizzlies. If the Grizzlies want you to know something, I think they are pretty good about letting you know. When they don't want you to know something, they make that pretty obvious too. We can all see by the way that they treat injuries. I don't think the Grizzlies would want you to know that they're out there trading for Kevin Durant, but clearly somebody, you know, wanted this information to go out, and maybe it's enough to stir some other stuff up in the market. But it's exciting stuff for us to get to talk about at the very least.
Oh, absolutely. And just kind of like the reporting base kind of thing of like, why would he report it? Also for one, Zach Kleiman, he had said to us on draft night that he likes to work in the dark. And I also wanted to bring this up, like Brandon Abraham pointed this out on Twitter, where the Grizzlies don't release their information through Shams. They typically release it through Woj. And so I kind of dove deeper into it. And then I found where the only thing that Shams broke that Woj didn't was Jaren Jackson's return date in the 2021 season, the John Morant injuries last season, which is literally the same stuff that we get in press releases, like literally seconds before. The Grizzlies waiving Deion Waiters and Jordan Bell and in Dakota Mathias's hardship contract last season. He doesn't get the big Grizzly news that Adrian Wojnarowski gets. I know there's like it's nothing but something at the same time. But that's kind of, I just kind of think it's a leak. I mean, the Nets, Kevin Durant's camp, they've been leaking stuff through Shams all summer. I think this is just that and nothing else. But I also do think that the Grizzlies are in the mix for Kevin Durant somehow and are talking with the Brooklyn Nets in some capacity where they may even be a team that's saying, hey, we can facilitate a multi-team trade. I know there's the big elephant in the room where the Nets can't trade for another player on a designated rookie extension because of Ben Simmons. The Grizzlies, with that salary of Danny Green, Steven Adams, and Dylan Brooks, they have the salary to match and probably go get Ben Simmons if they wanted to, which still adding Morant, Spain, Simmons, Jackson, that's still a championship core for probably 5 to 10 years. If he's right, we don't know if he's right now, but like you said, Zach Kleiman's a smart guy. There's definitely something in the dark there, but he's not going to just straight out put out there that, oh yeah, we're making calls about Kevin Durant.
Right. Yeah. I don't mean to hijack your podcast here, but let me just ask you this. Would you be willing to trade Jaren Jackson or Desmond Bane to get a deal done for Kevin Durant?
If it's one of, yeah, I'd be willing to do one of. I kind of go back and forth on the preference because it's either, hey, keep the elite shooter that could be a very good third scorer next to Ja and Durant, but you would also just kind of have your defense collapse because you're probably losing Dylan Brooks as well. Or you keep Jaren, the defense could probably maintain around a league average to above league average level, but you're also losing a premier 3-point shooter, something that you've been needing for over a decade. Like, you finally got that guy in Desmond Bane that you've needed since they traded away Mike Miller the first time. So I kind of go back and forth on which one I would include, but if they said, okay, include one of Jaren Jackson or Desmond Bane and the deal can get done, I'd do it. Probably the Jaren one, because you could probably keep Steven Adams in there. So it'd probably be Jackson, Green, and Brooks. And then maybe a rookie, maybe Zaire Williams, and then whatever draft capital it takes. So what is it for you? This was actually the question of the day. Would you trade one of Jaren Jackson or Desmond Bane in this? And what would you think it would take for the Grizzlies to actually accomplish a Kevin Durant trade?
Well, you're giving up. You're definitely going to have to include Steven Adams, you would think. I mean, I guess that changes a little bit with Jaren's new contract kicking in. I haven't done math on that exactly, so I don't want to get ahead of myself there. You're giving up 5 first-round draft picks. I mean, that's just what it's going to have to take. So you're probably giving up 5 first-round draft picks. And if I were the Nets, I would probably be asking for Desmond Bane. And I think if you're the Grizzlies and you ask yourself, you kind of have to ask yourself two questions. Is like, who's more expendable and who projects to be the better player? I think that you have a chance to have a really good backcourt. I just worry if you keep Desmond Bane and Ja Morant together for a really long time, you also are going to have Kevin Durant on the ball a lot more because he's Kevin Durant. Mm-hmm. And so you do have to, I guess, think about how those three guards, if you consider Kevin Durant a guard, are going to play together. And I think Desmond Bane right now, if you polled Grizzlies fans, they would say is going to end up being the better player out of between him and Jaren Jackson. I'm not 100% sure of that though. And I don't know what exactly is going through Zach Kleiman's head and what the franchise believes there. I don't know, man. It's so hard. I don't know if I would give up either one of those guys. I just think that the Grizzlies are in a really good position now to be set up for the future. And if you give up Jaren, and especially if you give up Jaren and you give up like a Steven Adams or something, I think you become really concerned with your paint defense because you don't really have anybody and everyone sort of figures Dylan Brooks would be part of the deal. You're just going to be losing a lot defensively. And basketball is a lot more than just offense. And I think you saw when the Grizzlies defense struggled early in the year and they had that meeting in Utah to try to like get back on track. It's because their defense was really terrible up to that point. And I think you have to worry about the defense if you give up Jaren Jackson. And if you were to add Kevin Durant and keep Jaren Jackson, then you keep shooting, you keep defense. You're not keeping shooting to the level of Desmond Bane, but I think that it just sets up your team a little bit better, having a big man. So it's really challenging because it's like, all right, if you believe Desmond Bane's going to be the better player, you want to keep Desmond Bane. But if you think Jaren Jackson's going to be the better fit, which I think might also be the case, maybe you want to keep Jaren Jackson. I think for that reason, I don't know if I would do it. I don't know if this is the chance. You'd be widening the gap between your best players significantly because Kevin Durant's into his 30s and Ja, I think, is 23 or 22 years old. So I don't know. I don't think I would do it. I don't think I would do it. I can't believe I'm saying that. But the more I think about it out loud, I'm not sure that I would do it.
It is a very, very tough dynamic for a lot of – I think the one thing that gets kind of underrated in the whole defense thing is – I think regardless, Dylan Brooks is going to be gone in the deal. I think that's kind of a given, especially since he's an attractive player in terms of salary because he's on an expiring $11 million contract. Let's say Brooklyn gets him and, you know, they get to a point in the season where they're not really kind of in the mix. They can trade Dylan to a contender. Any contending team would want Dylan Brooks on their roster in the right role. And, you know, if you lose him, and let's say they want Zaire Williams in the deal, who's guarding the Luka Doncic's in a playoff? Who's guarding Luka Doncic in a playoff series? Who's guarding Devin Booker, Brandon Ingram, got Steph Curry? Guys, who's guarding those guys? I don't trust anyone other than Dylan Brooks right now in the 2022-2023 season to step up in that role because you're not asking Durant to do it. He's 34, has a lot of miles on him. You need him for offense. John Morant probably can't do it to that same level. So who knows? I mean, granted, if it's no Bane, no Jaren, picks, and literally whoever they want besides the Grizzlies' talented young trio, let's go. Let's ride.
Yeah, you do it easy in a money. Second. Yeah.
I understand the apprehension of saying, no Jaren, but Bane, or no Bane, but Jaren. I feel like it's a lot more than just, oh, hey, they're adding Kevin Durant. You know, it's just part of 2K culture. Like, oh, you're adding Kevin Durant. Like, that should automatically make your team better. But there's so many different little small dynamics that are going to happen. Because, I mean, for one, it's pretty late in the offseason. You're looking at a scenario where you're counting on guys like David Roddy and Jake LaRavia to be rotation players, or Santi Aldama to be rotation players fairly quickly. Not in the whole like, oh, hey, if so-and-so goes down, like you'll probably get your shot. Like, hey, you're expected to be in the 10-man rotation from the jump on a championship winning team. It's risky. It's risky, but hell, sometimes to win a championship, you got to take a risk.
Yeah. It'll be fascinating to follow it these next few weeks or to see if this will fizzle out. I have a feeling that the Grizzlies probably won't want anyone to really know what's going on as far as negotiations with Kevin Durant go. But this one got out, so you never know what could get out, you know, later on down the road. But I suspect it'll probably be pretty quiet until something gets done. I don't think Kevin Durant will be announcing his top three as if it's like a high school recruitment.
Exactly. And I'm suspecting that he ends up in Boston or Phoenix or Toronto. I think Toronto is the sleeping giant in all of this, because even if they don't give up Scottie Barnes, they have Pascal Siakam, they have OG Anunoby, Gary Trent, Precious Achiuwa. They have all their picks. They can do it. They came out of nowhere with Kawhi. I think they can come out of nowhere with Durant as well. I can also see a scenario where, and I bring up that whole Mitchell, Simmons, Durant dynamic again, because I feel like it's not a secret that Mitchell wants to go to New York. Technically, Brooklyn, it's in New York. If Phoenix is that willing to give up all their first round picks for Kevin Durant, and however they want to get creative with pick swaps, and the Grizzlies could also throw in that Warriors 2024 pick and come away with Simmons to help Mitchell go to Brooklyn, that might be, not from a player standpoint, from a pick standpoint, that might be the Knicks package that they have for Mitchell. This is like the weirdest offseason with absolutely no moves I think we've seen, because you have two all-stars, one being a generational talent, on the trade block, and seemingly nothing has happened, and it's put everything on pause.
Yeah. I'm just kind of I'm going with the flow at this point.
Yeah.
You know, I came on this podcast, I feel like I'm just thinking out loud, you know?
Yeah,
I've been doing that for like a few weeks as far as NBA news goes. But I would really like to see what's going to happen with the Nets before the season starts.
Same here,
because
man.
I know we're going to end up having to talk about, you know, what we think is going to happen this year. Brand moving to Phoenix or where in the Western Conference would be fairly significant. So I'm just cheering for something to get done, whether it's that mega deal you want to talk about that includes Simmons and Kevin Durant. That would be the biggest trade in NBA history, my God. But whether it's that or something else, I'm like ready to know, man. I'm tired of thinking out loud. I'm tired of going to the trade machine and punching in the numbers to see what kind of salary works. I just want to know. I'm ready for it to start. I'm ready to know where all these guys are going to wind up. And it does happen to be Memphis. Ooh-wee, it is going to be a very fun rest of our offseason.
And if it is Memphis, we're in for one hell of a season, maybe even one hell of a four-year stretch. I think also, too, that Ja and Durant would be like the Jordan and Pippen of NBA player Twitter. I think that could be absolutely, I think both the greatest thing to happen, but also just something that could just be absolute carnage. But
that would be, I don't know if you want that distraction.
Oh yeah, no.
I'm not sure that's a good idea.
Oh yeah, no. GBB zone, Nathan Chester may never be safe again, but yeah, it's, I hope it's Memphis. I just want something to happen before the season starts. Not even with just Kevin Durant, but with also Donovan Mitchell. Just, I don't want anything to take away from the basketball, because they're like, this NBA season is shaping up to be like really good. You know, the Western Conference is back because you have guys like Zion and Kawhi and Paul George coming back, or Jamal Murray coming back. You have these young teams taking a rise. You have teams like Memphis with an exciting superstar with Ja Morant, second best team in the league last year. There you have like the epic tank race as well with the 2023 draft. You have the Eastern Conference kind of running it back a little bit and being loaded once again. I just don't want any of this smoke, any of the rumors, to kind of take away from the actual basketball we're about to have next season.
Yeah, man. I'm looking to it. We're getting
Yes, sir. We are getting close. And Drew, as we're signing off, just let the people know where they can find you and your work.
You can find me on Twitter at @DrewHill_DM. It'd be nice if Twitter would free and allow me to be verified, but it doesn't matter how many times I try. Seems like that's just a pipe dream. It's not going to happen. So you can follow me over there. You can read my work in the Daily Memphian. I got a newsletter that I write every Thursday, and then during the season, it's every Monday and Thursday. And you have to be subscribed to the newsletter, but I write about a lot of fun stuff over there, so you can go check that out as well.
Absolutely. I think it's absolute BS that Drew isn't verified on Twitter, but I am. I think that's a load of crap. I wish I could just like sell mine off to Drew.
Maybe if Twitter
verified is listening to this somehow, they'll know, or they'll just go ahead and verify Drew, because
I guess I'm too much of a Twitter bad boy.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't bleep out the curse words. Like when Jaw's cursing, or anybody else for that matter is cursing in the post game, I don't bleep it out. I just put it in there normal. So I think maybe that's it. Maybe they don't like my potty mouth on Twitter.
That might be
everybody
it.
Else.
That might be it. Who knows? Maybe it's the combination of sports teams that you root for with Bama, the Chicago Cubs, the Chicago Bears. That might just be too lethal out there for a verified member. Who knows? I don't know what it is, but they're making a mistake. But yeah, go to Drew on Twitter. Follow him at @DrewHill_DM. Maybe throw a tweet over at @verified on Twitter to make sure that he gets verified. Make sure you read all the work over the Daily Memphian. Really great stuff that's provides very unique coverage around the city. Anything you want, really. So make sure you're reading up on that, subscribing there, and there you can find all of Drew's work. You can follow me on Twitter @Paca_Flocka. Read all of our work over at GrizzlyBearBlues.com and subscribe to the Grizzly Bear Blues Podcast Network wherever you get your podcast. And with that,
today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.